सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेनाग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। In the famous text Bhaj Govindam, Shankaracharya ji very beautifully expresses what is covered in the 11th chapter in detail. And the shloka goes, Nalini dalgat jalam ati tarlam, tatvat jivitam atishaya chapalam, viddhi vyadhya bhimana grastam, loka shoka hatam cha samastam. So Shankaracharya ji says that Nalini dalgat jalam ati tarlam, just as a dewdrop on a lotus leaf, which has arisen from the water of the lake, and when will this dewdrop fall back into the lake, we don't know. Similarly, our life is that short. It's like the dewdrop. When it will, we will merge back into the totality is not known to any of us. And that's what he's showing Arjuna in the 11th chapter, where he's showing the large number of warriors, powerful, famous warriors who were considered invincible, Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Jayadrath, who by all means should never have been defeated, and how they go into the jaws of death, showing that even though they were young, and except of course Bhishma, Pitama, and they were so powerful, but in front of Kala, there is no solution, there is no escape. And what happens while we are living on this world, instead of remembering that our life is short, what do we do? Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, Vidhi Vyadhi Abhimana. We are all the time grastam, we are caught by two things, illness and ego. And what is illness? One, of course, is the physical illness, but more important is the mental illness of anger, greed, jealousy. And what that is due to? That is due to ego, this arrogance that I am somebody special. And so he says, lokam shoka hatam cha samastam. That's what he is showing Arjuna, that in this totality, you are a very small part. And this idea of I and my, this ego, needs to be dropped. And that is what we have seen so far in the 11th chapter, where Arjuna sees this virat cosmic form of the Lord, realizes that life is very short. Yatha pradeeptam jvalanam patanga vishanti nashaya Samriddha Vega. He said, just as the moths go into the fire, their life is very short. We think our life is relatively long, but when the final time will come is not known to us. And so Arjuna is filled with wonder first at this magnificent form, then fear about death. And now we are in the section of the 11th chapter where it is the section of devotion, of love for God and surrender, because he realizes his minitude, his minimum power compared to this infinite glory of the Lord. And so these 11 verses from 36 to 46 in the 11th chapter, Gurudev has considered them to be the finest prayer ever offered in any scripture of the world, where in 11 verses, Arjuna has expressed his love, devotion. At the same time, it is full of Vedantic truths. So we will continue today from where Arjuna is now praising the Lord. And last week he had said, Nama purastadatha prishtataste, namostute sarvata eva sarva, ananta virya mita vikramastvam, sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarva. He says, I bow down to you the front and the back all around. Why? Because you are of supreme power and supreme prowess and all pervading, that is, you are that Lord. So now we'll do verse number 41, chapter 11, verse number 41. Sakheti matva prasabham yaduktam.
Sakheti matya prasabham yaduktam.
He Krishna, he Yadava, he Sakheti.
He Krishna, he Yadava, he Sakheti.
Ajanata mahimanam tavedam.
Ajanata mahimanam tavedam.
Maya pramadat pranayena vapi.
Maya pramadat prayena vapi.
Together, Rama Ben, I'll mute you. Sakheti matva prasabham yaduktam. He Krishna, he Yadava, he Sakheti. Ajanata mahimanam vedam. Maya pramadat pranayena vapi. So he says, Bhagwan, I did not recognize your great glory. And so what did I think? He's my Langotiya Yaar. He's my friend, childhood friend. And he was. Bhagwan Shri Krishna and Arjuna had been friends for a long time. So he says, Sakha iti matva, having thought in this way that you are my Sakha, you are my friend. And then I became, prasabham means I became presumptuous. I presumed, I took you for granted. And yad uktam, and what did I say? He says, what did I call you? Hey Krishna, I called you, hey Krishna. You know how we talk to friends? We don't say, oh, dear sir and all. Your friend, you address very casually, hey Krishna. Then I not only said you called you Krishna, I called you Yadava. I even talked about your family. I didn't even mention you by name. Hey Yadava, come here. Hey Sakha, you know, oh friend, come here. I mean, this is how people talk to their friends. But he says, Ajanata mahimanam tava idam. Ajanata, not knowing your mahima, your glory, this glory of yours that I'm seeing, I'm so sorry I did not know that. And why did I do it? Maya pramadat, by my heedlessness, by carelessness. And pranayena va api, and also because of love. See, when you talk to your friend, you talk with love. You don't stand on formality. Yes, sir. How are you, sir? You know, when he comes or she comes, how are you? What did you do? And how was it? And so he says he's apologizing for what he has done. So he's here apologizing for what he has done in the past. So Arjuna, he remembers how he addressed Bhagwan just by name. And what we have to learn here is that Bhagwan, or when we are talking about the Lord, we should do it with respect. You shouldn't say, oh, Krishna, Rama, Lakshmi, Saraswati, not like that. Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Shri Ramchandra ji, if you listen to all these acharyas, whenever they talk about God, they say Mother Lakshmi, Mother Saraswati. So this attitude of respect and surrender towards God is very, very important. And that's what, so just calling by first name, he says, I feel so bad that I did that. And actually in traditional Indian homes, wives, if you, I don't know, your parents and all, won't even mention their husband by name. You know, they say, oh, Munne ke pita, you know, like the son's father or things like that. In fact, in Sita ji's case, there was a very beautiful incident when they were going with Ram and Lakshman ji and Ramchandra ji, and they were came to a village and they asked Sita ji, who is your husband? Sita ji didn't want to point out Ram Chandra ji. So she says, you know, Lakshman ji was more fair. She says that fair one is my brother-in-law. So she won't even mention, you know, him by name. So the point is that, you know, it is traditional. And in friends, you know, you do take each other for granted. And, you sometimes, not knowing the glory of this individual, you may not treat him very well. You may be just presuming, you know, presumptive. So that I was reading, there's some beautiful examples. Say you are entering an elevator and you are going for an interview. It's a very important interview. And there is, this is before COVID, and there's only one seat in the elevator. You know, all the elevator is full and there is this guy standing and you cut in front of him and you go into the elevator, the door closes and you smile, ah, I got into the elevator and this guy is left outside. And you go up for the interview and what do you find? This fellow whom you pushed out of the elevator is the one taking your interview. Then you say, oh, forgive me, sir, maya pramadat. I did not realize that you are the, you know, the interviewer. So this is what happens. I was listening to another beautiful story. So when Raman Maharishi ji was a great saint of this 20th century, and people, thousands of people used to go visit him, and he would sit in the hall and people would pass by. Sometimes he would talk, sometimes he would not, but just being in his presence, people benefited so much. So this one man walks in to see, meet Raman Maharishi, and he sees this man in a dhoti and kurta working around in the kitchen. So he says, hey, come here, you know, he comes. He said, when is Raman Maharishi ji coming? He said, oh, he will be coming. You please sit in the hall and he will be here shortly. And then when he sits down, he realizes that this person whom he was called, hey, come here, is that great Raman Maharishi. And this, that's the glory of these Mahatmas. They don't try to show off, hey, who are you talking to? You don't know. So point is that when we do some mistake like that, one has to immediately apologize that, oh, I'm so sorry I did that. And that's what Arjuna does. Because he realizes that what a blunder he has made, that all these years from childhood, he was considering Bhagwan Shri Krishna as just my friend and, you know, being disrespectful, not giving him. Again, it's not Arjuna's fault. The relationship was different. But now Arjuna realizes that this person who was my friend is the Supreme Lord, the consciousness who has appeared on this earth as my friend. And he sees the entire glory of this cosmic form. So it's a very beautiful shloka where it shows us the relationship between Arjuna and Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Even though they were good friends and they were related, but now there is a change in the relationship where Arjuna now understands that the one standing in front of me is no one but this Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Consciousness, who has taken human form. So he continues his prostration to the Lord and his apology. So the next few verses, he is apologizing because he has seen the glory of this supreme cosmic form, where the entire universe is in this form, not only this earth, but all the heavens, the hells, all the 14 worlds, past, present, future, everything is in that form. So we'll do verse number 42. Yachavaha sartham asat kritosi
Yachavahasarthamasatratosi.
Viharashayasanabhojaneshu.
Viharashayasanabhojaneshu.
Ekothavapyachutatatsamaksham.
Ekothavapyachutatatsamaksham.
Tatkshamayetvamahamaprameyam.
Tatkshamayetvamahamaprameyam.
Together. Yachavahasarthamasatkritosi. Viharashayasanabhojaneshu. Ekothavapyachutatatsamaksham. Tatkshamayetvamahamaprameyam. So last line, tatkshamayetvam. I ask for your forgiveness. Kshamayetvam, I ask for your forgiveness. From what? He says, yatcha in the first line. Avahasarthama, for the sake of fun. You know, when friends are together, they joke, they tease each other. Ahasartham, asatkritosi, I was not respected, I was insulted or teased by you in many occasions. See, Arjuna remembers each one of those occasions. It's like a movie playing in his mind, all the times that I have not respected the Lord. When vihara, vihara means at play, when we were playing together or we were, you know, having fun or picnic together. Shaya, shaya means when we were lying next to each other, you know, in India, in the summer, it's very hot. So people lie on the roof on like these charpais, these beds next to each other, especially in North India, it's so hot. And then at night it gets cool. So you have a blanket. So then in the middle, early morning, you put on the blanket. And he said, you know, I didn't treat you good, maybe. So we'll talk about that. And asana. Asana means when we were sitting together. Mm-hmm. Or bhojaneshu, while we were having food together. And not only together, ekaha, when just the two of us were there. Athva api achyuta tat samaksham, even when in front of others. See, people say, you can tease me when we are alone, but don't tease me in front of others. You know, people always say that. Or, you know, you want to tell me something, tell me alone, not in front of others. So he says, not only I teased you when you and I were alone, but even when in front of others, I teased you, I didn't respect you. Therefore, forgive me, Tvam, please forgive me, O Lord. Who are you? Aprameyam. Aprameyam. This is a very beautiful word. We'll spend some time talking about it. So he says, I used to joke and tease with you while sitting. So like, you know, the Lord would be wanting to sit down and I pulled the chair. You know, maybe as friends we do that, pull the chair and he fell down and he says, oh, I did that to you. I feel so bad. Or when we were lying down on the roof of the building, and in the early morning when it was cold, we were sharing a blanket. I pulled your blanket and took it to myself and left you in the cold. Or while food, I took more than, you know, what I gave you, even though you were a guest. I ate more, I took the food, I didn't respect you. So all these tricks I played upon you in without knowing, you know, who you were and what was your glory. So he says that I apologize because all these incidents keep coming to his mind. Eka could be together or in front of others. So for that, he says, please, Lord, forgive me. And the idea, as we said, friends do that. But if a true friend is there, he would forgive, not highlight the faults of our friend. See, what is a true friend? A true friend is one when another friend is making a mistake or committing a fault, you don't highlight it, you hide it. I mean, not hide in that sense, but don't advertise. But what we do, especially if somebody we don't like, we go on advertising his faults. You know what he does, you know what she does. and we love to gossip. So he says that that is not a true friend. But the Lord is all forgiving. And think about it, how many times we have made blunders from childhood. If each one of us starts totaling all the mistakes, all the blunders, all the wrong things we have done, and how forgiving is the Lord, that the Lord continues to repeatedly forgive us, take care of us, give us whatever. So the point is that we should not take it for granted that, oh, it's okay. No, I should be always grateful to the Lord and be very thankful for his compassion, for his love, for his forgiveness. And always remember that even if I have made mistakes in the past, at least let me not repeat them. Let me fix my behavior. So that's what Arjuna is telling us, that yes, I did make these mistakes, but I ask for your forgiveness, O Lord, because you are all compassionate, you are all merciful, you are all kind, you are a true friend, and I have considered you a friend. That was Arjuna's relationship. So he says that, please forgive me, aprameyam. Now, aprameyam is a very beautiful word. Prameyam means measurable. Aprameyam means immeasurable, cannot be measured, cannot be known. So God is not somebody who can be reached by our intellect. What can we measure? What I can intellectually know, I can measure. Like I can measure the size of this desk, you know, 5 feet or 6 feet or whatever. But the Lord is so infinite that we cannot measure, we cannot know the Lord. Even the intellect which we have as an equipment cannot reach God. So he says, if we cannot reach God, if we cannot know God, then they say the purpose of life is to know God, to reach God. So what is the method of knowing? It is explained very beautiful in the scriptures. It is says the prameyam or prameya is the one to be known. So God is the one I need to know, I need to reach, I need to accomplish. I need to know my oneness. So what do I have to do? I have to become a pramata. Pramata means one who wishes to know the prameya, the one that is to be known. So knower and the known. But there is a big gap between me and God, because he is infinite, he is all pervading, he is vast. I am limited, I am small, I have a little ego, I am, you know. So the scriptures are the pramanam, is the method to know. How am I to know God? So they say through the scriptures. Guru Vedanta Vakya Dishu Vishwasa. We are doing Tattva Bodha on our Thursday class, and there Shraddha is said to be Guru Vedanta Vakya Dishu Vishwasa Iti Shraddha. So what is Shraddha? What is faith? Is belief in the scriptures and belief in the Guru. So when I have belief in the Guru and belief in the scriptures, that is the pramanam, that is the method, that is the instrument that will take me towards God. And ultimately, when I understand who is this God that is all pervading, is also my own nature, my own true self, that divinity I am not separate, I am not far from that divinity, then that knowledge that occurs is called prama. So prameya is the known, pramata is the knower. What is the means of knowledge? It's called pramanam. And ultimately, when the knowledge occurs, which all these enlightened masters experience, that is called prama, where I know this knowledge for myself. I do not need anybody else to tell me. I have understood it as my own understanding, my own nature. So it is a stepwise progression from ignorance to knowledge and then to the final oneness with that reality. So one should know what one is looking for when one starts looking, and that is very important. That's what the scriptures are, our guide. And the guru is our guide that tells us what is it that I am looking for. So I need to know what I am looking for. Talking about what I'm looking for, there were these two friends who were a little older, Tom and Fred. And so together they went to a movie. And in the middle of the movie, Fred is got under the seat and he's searching for something. So Tom says, "What are you doing under the seat? What are you looking for? You know, you're disturbing everybody." He says, "I'm looking for my chewing gum." He says, "You're looking for your chewing gum. It's fallen on the floor. It's dirty. Just leave it." He says, "No, I can't, because my teeth are attached to the chewing gum." So he knew what he was looking for. So that is what we say. No, he was looking in the right place. So the point is that when we start looking for God, we need to know who God is. What is my purpose of looking? Purpose of looking is to achieve eternal peace. Once we achieve the oneness with God and achieve the total realization, that is the only way to get eternal peace, to get eternal shanti, as we heard from Swami Swarupananda ji all week. Most of you logged in, how beautifully he explained how Sita ji represents shanti. Peace, represents shanti, represents, you know, the infinite glory, infinite oneness. And that Sri Ramchandra ji accomplishes even going through all the difficulties. So you and I also on the spiritual path need to find Sita ji, this eternal peace, that is bliss, that is our own nature. So he says, "Bhagwan, you are apramayam, you are immeasurable, unknowable. It is only through Guru and through scriptures that we learn about you." So Arjuna had studied Vedanta. So here we see that he is not only speaking as a devotee, but as a scholar of Vedanta. Very, very beautiful verses. We'll do verse number 43. Verse 43. Pitasi lokasya characharasya.
Pitasi lokasya characharasya.
Tvamasya pujyascha gurur gariyan.
Tvamasya pujyascha gurur gariyan.
Natvat samostyabhyadikakutonyah.
Natvat samostyabhyadikah.
Kutonyaha. This was a hard line. Lokatraepya pratima prabhava.
Lokatraepya pratima prabhava.
You can please mute. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Tvamasya pujyascha gurur gariyan. Natvat samostyabhyadikakutonyaha. Lokatraepya pratima prabhava. This is a beautiful verse. Swamiji said to say it twice. So we should chant it again together. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Tvamasya pujyascha gurur gariyan. Natvat samostyabhyadikakutonyaha. Lokatraepya pratima prabhava. So here Arjuna is giving us all the glories of Bhagwan. He's enumerating one by one. So he says, "Pita asi, you are the father." Father of what? Lokasya, of this, all these lokas, all the 14 worlds, not only the perceptions, as we had mentioned, but even the emotions, the thoughts, the ideas of all individuals, all beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, you are the father of all. You are the creator. Father, or you can say mother even, it is the parent. Pita asi. Here, of course, it is Bhagwan Shri Krishna. So he's calling him father. Pita asi lokasya. And what is this loka? So Arjuna says it very beautifully. Chara and achara. Chara is moving, achara is stationary. So moving are all the living beings, plants, animals, birds, fish, humans. even the planets, even the, you know, all of the whatever is moving, that you are, and also that which is immovable, like rocks and stones and mountains. So you are the Father, you are the Creator, you are the origin of this entire universe of moving and immovable. And Tvam Asya, of this universe, Asya is the sixth case, Asya Pujya. Pujya means you are the one to be worshipped. Puja, not only worship, is not only to do the prayers, but to bring God into my life. That is called true puja. Puja cha, and you are the Guru Gariyan. You are the great teacher of this universe, of all of us. Because whatever we know is because of God's grace. Na Tvat. Tvat means compared to you, Sama Asti. There is nobody equal to you. Abhyadik Kutaha Anyaha. Who can be greater than you? There is nobody even equal to you in this entire universe. Forget about anybody being greater than you. So the idea is that God is the supreme. We sometimes forget that, and we take things for granted. Whatever we, the gifts we get from God, we take them for granted. So he says, besides you, there is nothing else. There is nobody superior to you, not even anybody equal to you. Where? Lokatraye, in these three worlds, api a pratima prabhava, of great strength, of great valor, of great power you are, which is a pratima, which is immeasurable, incomparable power you are. So we talked about chara and achara, moving and immovable, stationary and mobile. Like accountants, when they do accounting of a corporation, they will say fixed and movable assets. You know, when Rajiv is listening, I'm sure he does that all the time. So when we evaluate a corporation, we say these are the fixed assets. What is the fixed assets? Building, you know, things that do not move, and whatever, the cars and other. And then what are the liquid assets? Liquid assets are the people, are the wealth, are the money in the bank. So that is how you evaluate a corporation: fixed and mobile assets, liquid and solid fixed assets. So similarly, he says this whole universe is chara and achara, moving and immovable. And you are the great guru. You are the one that is to be known, and you, it only you know yourself. Only, that's what Tulsidas ji says. Tvam hi janati tumi ho jai. He says, one who knows you becomes one with you. In Tulsi Ramayana, he says it very beautifully, that to know you is to become one with you. And only you can allow us. That's why in the 12th chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Tesham aham samudharta vrityu samsara sadarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshit chetasam. So one, he says, one who puts his mind in me totally, then I lift you. I lift that person out of this ocean of samsara. I become the samuddharta, the one who lifts you. So I surrender to God. I ask for forgiveness. I go to the guru, get the right knowledge with genuine prayer, humility, and serving the Lord. That's all I can do. I can go up to there. Service, love, knowledge, and meditation. And when these four are done, then I just wait in surrender, and ultimately the Lord opens the door and takes us to Him. So that's what is there. That's why He says, you are the greatest guru. From you came all the Upanishads, from you came all the knowledge. So here, Bhagwan is being addressed as somebody else, because Arjuna could see Lord as somebody else. But the scriptures tell us that God is not somebody separate. He is Samashti. He is the totality. One is Vyashti. Vyashti means I, the individual. Samashti means the totality. So God is the totality, and in that totality, I am also there. I'm also a small part. So one should never think that God is separate from me or far away from me. He is inside me as my life, my consciousness, and is aware of all my perceptions, my emotions, my thoughts, all are known to God. And so that's why one has to live a very alert life where I should be very careful about my words, my emotions, my thoughts. And that's what he says, the three worlds are known to you. You are the pervading all the three worlds. The three worlds can be the heaven, the earth, and the lower worlds. Other three worlds also can be the waking, dream, and deep sleep. So there are three worlds in which the jiva, the individual, goes through: the waking world, the dream world, and the deep sleep world. But the consciousness, the Om, the life principle in me, is there equally in all three states. In the waking state, I experience the world of objects. I am the enjoyer. In the dream state, I create my own world of objects, where I create this dream where I am going on the railway station and I missed my train or I missed my plane or whatever. So this dream world I am creating. So in the waking, I am the enjoyer. In the dream, I am the creator. In the deep sleep, I am neither. I am, this ego is absent, this individuality. But the consciousness is there in all three states. Lokatraye, that's what Gurudev in his commentary says, that the Lord is the consciousness, the conscious principle that is there in all three states and is illumining all three states. That's why even in deep sleep, when I wake up in the morning, I say I slept good. As we said last week, how do I remember? Because I was there. The rememberer and the knower has to be the same person. So I was there in the deep sleep as consciousness. So he says, you, O Lord, are illumining all the three states. But I forgot that. And that's why he says, you please forgive me again and again. He says, Karo Khoto Tero Sai. O Lord, even though I may have done bad things, I'm Khara or I'm Khota, doesn't matter. I'm good or bad, but I am yours. Oh Lord, Tero Sai, I am yours. Please accept me as yours and take me up with you. That is a humble prayer of a devotee. And that is how one should approach the Lord. And the Lord, of course, is all kind, all compassionate, all forgiving. As long as we surrender our ego, our arrogance, our pride, our possessiveness, our selfishness, as long as we purify our mind and then with the right knowledge approach God with the right attitude, then God is ever willing to accept us. So that's why he says, O Lord, you are the supreme of this entire universe. You are the Father. And Gurudev in his commentary said that the Father is mentioned in Christianity, but is also mentioned in several of the Upanishads, in the Rig Veda, in the Yajur Veda, in many of the Upanishads, the Father God is mentioned as Father. Father is the origin. You can say father or mother, because again, God does not belong to any particular sex. It is the consciousness. Just as electricity, is it male or female? It is neither. It is light. So same way, God is that energy from which this whole universe has emerged. So traditionally we refer to as him, but it is, that's why in our Hinduism, we have the mother goddess also, we worship her, showing that they are not limited to only male. So that's why he says, you are the origin of this entire universe and there is nobody equal to you. Forget about anybody exceeding you. And you are the apratima prabhava, you are the one that has the maximum power, which cannot be compared, cannot be equaled in anywhere in these three worlds. And you are the one that is pervading all. And it is because of you that this whole universe is illumined, is given life. So this is the verse number 43. And verse 44 again continues Arjuna's forgiveness. He's asking for forgiveness. So verse number 44. Tasmat pranamya pranidhaya kayam.
Tasmat pranamya pranidhaya kayam.
Prasadaye tvam ahamishamidyam.
Prasadaye tvam ahamishamidyam.
Piteva putrasya sakheva sakyuhu.
Piteva putrasya sakheva sakyuhu.
Priyah priyayar hasi deva sodhum.
Priyah priyayar hasi deva sodhum.
So tasmat. So therefore. Oh, so all together. Sorry. Yeah, together. Tasmat pranamya pranidhaya kayam. Prasadaye tvam ahamishamidyam. Piteva putrasya sakheva sakyuhu. Priyah priyayar hasi deva sodhum. So tasmat. So because you are this supreme being from which we have all emerged. It's just like a wave talking to an ocean. How can a wave be arrogant in front of the ocean? That is how our attitude should be towards God. He says, I am come from you. So therefore, he says, I bow down. Pranamya means pranam. You know, I bow down like that to you, but not an ordinary pranam. Pranidhaya kayam. That is called sashtanga namaskar. When you lie down flat on the ground, that is called. So that is how I prostrate to you with extreme humility. Where this ego is completely gone, we can see in Arjuna, he no longer has that arrogance of, you know, I'm a great warrior, I'm, you know, Krishna's friend, or Krishna is my driver. See, he even said, oh, Bhagavan Shri Krishna, he's just my driver. No, he's not. He's the supreme being. So he says, therefore, I bow down to you with sashtanga namaskar, lying down on the floor. And why? Prasadaye tvam. I ask for your forgiveness. I say, oh Lord, please forgive me. Please be pleased with me. I know I made a mistake, but I'm asking for forgiveness. And please be pleased with me. Why? You are Isham Idiam. You are my dear Lord. You know, there is a very famous song by Rex Harrison. He says, my dear Lord, in a very famous song where the one of the Beatles, where it says that, oh God, you are so dear to me. And idiom is a very beautiful word, is used many places. Like in Dakshina Murti Stotram also, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji says, Dakshina Murtim Ide. It is my adorable. Recently, we also heard Guruji doing the Shiva Stuti Vedanta Sara. And he says, you are my dear beloved Lord, Isham Idiom. My adorable Lord, and why should you forgive me? Either why should I forgive you? God says, you keep making mistakes. He says, no, no, no. In the world, there are many examples I can give. He says, give me examples, Bhagwan says. He says, pita eva putrasya. Doesn't a father forgive a son? And son keeps on making blunders, keeps on making mistakes. Father says, I forgive your mother. You know, she keeps forgiving. She said, after all, you are like your father, so I have to forgive you. So he says, just as a parent forgives a child, you please forgive me. Why are you, you know, getting upset? I know I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I won't make it again. Then he says, sakha eva sakyuhu. Just as a friend forgives a friend, and we know that, you know, friend will keep making mistakes, but if there is a true friend, he doesn't remember, oh, you know, 5 years ago you said this to me and then I have still not forgotten. If you are a true friend, you forgive. Why? Because there is love. When there is love, then automatically there is forgiveness. Then he says, sakha eva sakyuhu. Then priya priyaya. How as a beloved, she forgives her beloved again and again, or he forgives her again and again. So he says, same way, you know, just as a father forgives a son, a friend forgives a friend, a beloved forgives her beloved. Arhasi, sodhum arhasi, you should. Arhasi is a very beautiful word. It's used a lot in the Bhagavad Gita, means you should do it. Sodhum means you should do this. Deva, O my Supreme Lord, you should forgive me because you are very compassionate. And there are many examples. I already told you how father forgives, friend forgives, the beloved forgives. So Gurudev in his commentary says that this Ashtanga Namaskar, when we lie down and ask, when we approach a temple and when you lie down, or when you bow down and put your head on the ground, what it does is it reduces our ego. Because as long as you're walking with the head up, you say, oh, I am somebody special, I'm somebody great. But the ego can only be given up when we surrender, when we bow down. And Gurudev also says that actually the divinity is within us. It's not outside. It is not something that I have to attain. But it is my ego which is interfering, which is an obstacle in my journey, in my journey towards truth. So it says that surrender this ego, this arrogance to God, and ask for forgiveness, and then understand that compared to God, I am a small individual. Not that I am useless or I am hopeless, not like that. I should do what I can do, but do it with humility that God is the only one working through me. And so God forgives us, as we said, like a father, like a friend, like a beloved. Why is there forgiveness? Because there is love. And when there is love, then forgiveness is automatic. And then the second idea of this is that when I am forgiven, then I have to improve. And that's what Arjuna says, that yes, I have made a lot of mistakes in my life, Lord, but please forgive me. And I promise to recognize you. I promise to accept you as the Supreme and be in gratitude. So here I was listening to a very beautiful story, which kind of will be a very nice conclusion to today's chapter, where it says that we ask God to forgive us many times. Yeah, we all the time, you know, even if we don't ask, God is constantly forgiving us. But do we forgive others? See, when somebody has done wrong to us, we are not ready to forgive. We always remember, you know, remember one time you said this, one time you did this, and I still remember you. I will never forget. I will never forgive. And what happens is that in our consciousness, in what is surrounding us, the whenever we use a harsh word, or whenever we say something wrong or do something wrong, you are poking holes in that layer of consciousness around you. So how do I heal those holes? By forgiveness. If somebody has said something harsh to me or done something wrong, if I can forgive, especially in Christianity, there is a lot of emphasis on forgiveness. That's what Jesus taught us. That forgiveness is the way to reestablish your continuity and to remove that. Even the idea that I was harmed, that should go away from our mind. And one should spontaneously forgive. There's a very beautiful story about Saint Francis. It is said one time he was traveling through Italy, and it was a winter, and he was traveling through mountainous areas, and there was a lot of snow. It was very cold, and you know, they were monks, so they didn't have any food, or only if they got food, if they went to some place and somebody fed them. And so he and his disciple, Brother Leo, were walking through this mountainous area, and very cold, very hungry. They haven't eaten all day. Their feet are freezing. They didn't have very good shoes, and they didn't have very good coats. You know, some leftover coat somebody had given them. And they were cold, wet, hungry, tired. And they were walking up the mountain. And so Brother Leo asks Saint Francis, how do we get supreme joy, highest joy? Are in the, you know, we are cold, tired, you are asking question. So he says, out of compassion, he says, how do you get supreme joy? Your brother said, I want to know, how should I get supreme joy? So Saint Francis says, well, if all our monks, you know, they had a large number of monks, if all our monks perform all kinds of miracles and do so much good for everybody, he says, will we get supreme joy? He says, no, you won't get supreme joy then. He says, then how am I to get supreme joy? He says, if I can understand, and you and I can understand the language of the animals, the birds, the plants, mm-hmm. become one with nature, understand everybody's, you know, become one with them, will we then get supreme joy? Saint Francis says, no, you will still not get supreme joy. He says, then how am I to get supreme joy? So Saint Francis says, okay, how about if we can heal everybody? If we can make everybody well on the whole earth, on the whole universe. He says, will we get supreme joy? He says, no, we will not get supreme joy then. He says, not by miracles, not by knowledge, not by service. Then how are we to get supreme joy? So Saint Francis says, you see this monastery at the top of the hill, they had come to this monastery. He says, we knock on the gate, asking to spend the night, and the guard takes a stick and beats us hard and throws us back into the snow, shuts the door and says, get out of here, you useless people. And if even after all that, if we can pray for him and lovingly say, oh, go in the grace of Jesus, that is when you get supreme joy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what greater forgiveness can there be? So he says, when we can truly forgive, no matter how many wrongs this person has done, but even if we don't have any sense of wrongdoing to us, that is true forgiveness. And that is the only way to get supreme joy and to heal our mind, to heal our understanding. So that's what Arjuna is asking Bhagavan Sri Krishna, that you are the Supreme Lord, you are so great, and I may have mistreated you in the past, I may have insulted you, I may have called you, hey Krishna, hey Yadav, and being a friend, I might even have played jokes with you, teased you, but you are the one who is the Supreme, you are the one that is to be known, you are the one that we need to reach. And out of love, out of compassion, I know you will forgive me. And I humbly prostrate to you and ask for forgiveness so that I may improve and I may carry on this journey. And why did I do that? Out of, you know, not knowing that who you were, what is your true nature. But now that I have understood who you are, now I prostrate to you, I bow down to you. So these are the four beautiful verses where we see Arjuna's surrender to God and his attitude of humility and asking for forgiveness. So we'll end here. We have a few minutes. Any questions, any comments?
Lord Krishna symbolizes the eternal inmate relation with Arjuna, which is the Jivatma. So this relation is permanent and it's one. So I just like the, you know, how Arjuna realizes oneness with Lord Krishna by saying, I prostrate you and I surrender all my ego. So yeah. That part I really like.
Thank you.
Okay, I was wondering if you could comment a little bit on the three worlds.
So three worlds here, Gurudev in his commentary. One way to look at it is the three different levels, you know, the heaven, and then this perceptible universe, and then the lower worlds, what we call as hell, heaven, earth, and hell, or this universe, heaven and hell. But in this particular shloka, Gurudev says there are three worlds of experiences, three lokas, the waking, the dream, and the deep sleep. And in all three states, the consciousness is there. It is there in waking as the experiencer. I experience the world of objects. So they say I eat. Eat means I intake. I take in all the world's experiences, emotions, thoughts. I am the intake. Then in the dream state, I become a creator of my own world. Each one of us in the dream, we create our world where we see people and we deal with people. And even though it's short, but in that I create. And then the third world is the world of deep sleep, where I am neither a waker nor a dreamer. There are no thoughts at that moment. There is no ego. And I am just present as I know nothing. But in that nothingness also, the consciousness is equally illumining all three states, the waking, dream, and deep sleep.
Yes, sir.
As the Sakshi, as the witness. It is the witnessing consciousness that is present in all three states. Also, it can be said the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. We have three bodies, the gross body, which we can see, this physical body, the subtle body, which is the mind and intellect. And then the third is the causal body, which is the vasanas, which cause me to act. So the consciousness illumines all three equally. So three is used in many places like that in the Bhagavad Gita, representing the three states of experience, the three bodies or the three worlds, the universes. But the consciousness is the Sakshi, the witness, which is present in all three and never changes. It's not that in the waker, God becomes more awake, or in the dream or deep sleep. God, consciousness is the same. The jiva changes. I change from waking to dream to deep sleep. But the consciousness in me is eternal, unchanging, avyayam, immutable.
I had a question on Inner Ramayana when Swami
Okay, go ahead. I'll try to answer.
May I ask?
Sure.
He mentioned Lakshman represented Vairagya. Did Sita represent knowledge? And then Rama represented peace? Is that, or I'm misunderstanding?
No, I think it's other way around. Lakshman ji represent Vairagya because he gave up his wife, he gave up the kingdom, even though he was not required to go to the forest. It was only Ramchandra ji. But Lakshman himself willingly gave up and his mother sent him. So that is Vairagya. And for 14 years, it is said Lakshman ji did not sleep and he stood guard outside the kutia, outside the little hut, because his mother had told him that you are going to take care of Ramchandra ji and Sita ji. So that's Vairagya, where he had totally given up everything to serve the Lord. Ramchandra ji represents Lord, represents knowledge, represents the supreme being who has appeared on earth as this human in the human form. And Ramchandra ji nowhere shows his divine glory. Bhagavan Sri Krishna does, you know, at places he shows his supreme form. But Ramchandra ji shows us how an ideal human being should live on the earth, following all the principles of dharma, irrespective of circumstances, irrespective. One day he was to be crowned king, and then that morning he's told to go to the forest for 14 years, and he remains equanimous. So, and it is said that he, when he was asked to go to the forest, he says to his mother that I am very happy. So he says, why are you happy? You are going to the forest. He says for four reasons. One is my father's promise will be fulfilled. Number two, my mother Kaikeyi wants me to go to the forest. Her wish will be fulfilled. Number three, the citizens of Ayodhya will get a very good king in Bharat. Can you imagine? And the, and then somebody may ask him, what are you getting out of it? You know, your father you are pleasing, your mother you are pleasing, the citizens of Ayodhya, what are you getting? Why are you happy? He said, because in the forest there are great rishis and I will get satsang. He says, so it is good for everybody. It is good for my father, my mother, for Ayodhya citizens, for Bharat, and it is good for me. So that equanimity to exhibit, that is, you know, amazing ability. So Ramchandra ji represents God, represents knowledge, and Sita ji represents supreme peace. shanti, mm-hmm. and supreme peace and love and faithfulness to God. So all those qualities are represented in Sitaji. And Sitaji, of course, is Lakshmi Ji's avatar, just as Ramchandra Ji was Sri Vishnu's avatar. So Sitaji was an incarnation of Mother Lakshmi. So it was that. So that's what Sitaji represents. Peace.
Okay. So one sentence. Raghukul Reet Sadachari Aayi Prana Jaye Par Vachana Na Jaye.
Yes. Yeah. Right. That is what our family tradition is. That I'm ready to give my life, but not give up my words. Yes. Mm. Thank you.
So one quick point. In this one, Pranidayakayam, Sastanga Namaskar.
Right.
So on that battlefield, in the chariot, where did Arjuna lay down to do Namaskar to Lord right. Krishna?
No, it's mental.
It's just the point I'm bringing it.
Yeah, but it's a mental. He's saying that I prostrate to you mentally. You know, that as a person would bow down. So that I have no ego at this time. Yes. Yeah. No, in the chariot, of course, he's talking. And it is said that Bhagwan actually stopped time. Where even though it seems like 700 verses and a long time, but actually time was stopped. And there was no time. It was happened. Everything happened. Where people thought they just are talking for a few minutes. It didn't look like, and of course, Ved Vyasji then expands on the conversation into 700 verses. But actually, time was frozen, and everybody it was like just a moment it happened.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's good questions. Thank you. Om natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yam agnihi. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati Om Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki jay Arati Shri Chinmaya Sadguru ki Devya Rupa Murati Karuna ki Arati Sadguru ki चरणों में उनके शांति समाए शरणागत की भ्रांति मिटाए ताप ताप संताप हरण की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की वेद उपनिषद गीता को गाया धर्म सनातन फिर से जगाया शुद्ध नीति श्रीति शंकर की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की सिद्ध बाड़ी की तपो भूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे भक्त हृदय आनंद स्रोत्र की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की बोलिए श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय एवरीबॉडी कैन टेक द आरती कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियेर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावा करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet Om Asato Ma Satgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha Hari Om. Thank you very much.